Welcome to Ghost of a Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Lignato. I'm an astrologer, psychic medium, and animal communicator, and I'm going to give you your weekly horoscope and no bullshit mystical advice for living your very best life. Welcome back to Ghost of a Podcast, where we get astrological and we explore astrology for the real world. This week, we are looking at the astrology of December 10th through the 16th of 2023, and we're going to dive right in because there's a lot going on. The first transit of this week happens on the 11th, and it is an exact sextile between Mercury and Venus. This transit is exact at 11:17 a.m. Pacific time, and it's happening with Mercury at 8 degrees of Capricorn and Venus at 8 degrees of Scorpio in 18 minutes. This transit is one of those really lovely transits that happens pretty often, and it's, in my view, not that spectacular in its effects, but it is really lovely, so worth noting, especially if you have something at around 8 degrees of a zodiac sign that is aspected by either Capricorn or Scorpio. Mercury sextile to Venus is a transit that is super fun, basically. Mercury is your friends and Venus is the people you flirt with or your lovers. Mercury is communication. Venus is getting along. And therefore, it's a, you know, fun, loving transit that increases our willingness and ability to get along well with others. This can be a great time for socializing, for chilling out, for making art, enjoying art, for de-stressing in general. And I feel like, I feel like we could all use a little bit of that. So this transit is worth noting. In general, it's great for connecting with other people. If you're in a social situation and you have the opportunity to meet new people, again, this is just kind of going to ease that dynamic, which is lovely. The other thing that can happen under this transit is, you know, if at work you're needing to like connect with people, bring them into your favor in some way, this transit can be really supportive for that. So, you know, basically any kind of interpersonal connection is improved by this transit because it promotes ease and good feelings, right? So who doesn't want that? In my view, it doesn't do anything more spectacular, but again, it's a very nice transit to pay attention to. And it's going to come back around real quick because on the 12th of December, Mercury goes retrograde. Mercury goes retrograde at 8 degrees and 29 minutes of Capricorn. And this happens exactly at 11:09 p.m. Pacific time. Mercury retrograde is always annoying, okay? I'm not going to pretend anything else. It is super annoying, and it's annoying because it means that communication gets wonky. We misunderstand things. Plans get changed around. There's just like all kinds of communication mishaps and problems. There can be technology issues, you know? So whenever Mercury is retrograde, it's important that we double check that we have understood important communications correctly and that we've effectively communicated, right? So that we've been heard and understood by others. And because Mercury is retrograde in Capricorn, kind of getting into brass tacks is favored. In other words, dealing really intentionally with your plans, your intentions, your relationships, all of these things will be benefited by you being, you know, a little cautious. Now, I've cast a chart for this Mercury retrograde, and it is worth us taking a peek at, okay? I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert here. Earlier in the day, on the 12th, we have a new moon in Sagittarius, and this new moon in Sagittarius is exact at 3:32 p.m. Pacific time, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. But the thing that's important about this is that we've got the moon and sun really close together for this Mercury retrograde. There's something of this that can be really inspirational. The trouble is we have in this Mercury retrograde chart, a sun-moon conjunction in Sagittarius, yay, forming a square to Neptune in Pisces. Boo. And the reason why I say boo is because Neptune further confuses things. Neptune governs uncertainty, anxiety, ambiguity. Neptune is the planet that is associated with fantasies, illusions, and delusions. And having Neptune squaring the sun and moon in this Mercury retrograde chart indicates further confusion this Mercury retrograde. So luckily, we've got Mercury retrograding in pragmatic Earth sign Capricorn. But I expect this Mercury retrograde to kick up a fair amount of anxiety. And if that's your experience, what I want to kind of ground you into is the larger spiritual lessons of Mercury retrograde, which are around the rule of Rees. This is our time to reflect and review and reassess. And by doing this, we are taking that Mercury and Capricorn pressure off of ourselves and others to have grounded, perfect answers. But instead, what we're doing is exploring what's possible, allowing ourselves to turn our inquisitiveness and our curiosity inwards. And oftentimes, that turning our curiosity inwards is really meant to focus us on the past, on what we've done historically, on what's occurred historically. So in terms of, you know, if you're somebody who's motivated around social justice and political activism, this is a good time to learn from history, to study history and learn from the past movements, historical events, etc. In our personal lives, this is a time to reflect on our own patterns. You know, it's so easy in life to be like, oh, you know, I won't date a Libra because Libras always do X. But the truth of the matter is, our patterns are a reflection on us more than anything else. What we consent to, what we engage with, how we engage, how we talk to ourselves when no one else is around. You know, the pressure we do or don't place on ourselves to evolve, to prove ourselves to others, to prove ourselves to ourselves. All of this shit is a reflection on us. And the really valuable thing about a Mercury retrograde is it empowers us to reflect on our own patterns, our own mental health, our own thinking, our own attitudes, our own relationships, the way we communicate, the way we listen to others. That process of review is meant to help us reset. And we need this. From my astrological perspective, and granted, this is a very humanistic astrology approach, and I am a humanistic astrologer, but if Mercury never went retrograde, then we would go much longer and much further in the wrong direction frequently in our lives. The retrogrades bring up patterns from the past, whether it's the deep past or like a couple months ago, but patterns from the past that require review. And the only way to review our own patterns is through the act of reflection. Too much judgment and hard analysis can have us kind of weaving stories and defenses about ourselves and the people in our past and situations in the past, etc. But reflection is a function of Mercury, right? But it has more emotional intelligence embedded into it. And that's what Mercury retrogrades require of us. Not just analysis, certainly not judgment, but also listening to ourselves, listening to our fears, listening to our hopes, listening to our own past. By doing this, we can come into greater wholeness. So back to that Sun-Moon conjunction square to Neptune in the context of Mercury retrograde, what's really important to note is that this Mercury retrograde is requiring us to go big in our thinking, to notice the big picture of our patterns, the big picture of our beliefs and our attitudes and our friendships and our relationships in general. Our big picture plans, not just the details, right? Mercury is all about the details. But Neptune and a bunch of planets and Sag, that tells us it's about going big. And the key here, or one of the many keys here, is to know yourself well enough to know how big your perspective can get without losing track of the details. And that's going to be different for everyone and different for all of us at different times in our lives and in different contexts. But when we go so big picture that we stop paying attention to the details, then we lose track of the material reality that we all share, right? And Mercury in Capricorn is not here for that. So what we are meant to do this Mercury retrograde is get to know ourselves better, get to know your mind better. how big picture can you go and still be aware of the details? That's just information. It's not good. It's not bad. You know, it's not right answers and wrong answers. It's just really important information to have. I encourage you to reflect on this throughout this Mercury retrograde. Mercury will be retrograde until January 1st. So it's just the end of the year, but it's like the whole end of the year, you know? January 1st, she goes direct. Yay. This is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of perfect. It's annoying, but it's perfect because we're having Mercury retrograding at the end of the year, and it is inviting us to reflect on all manner of things, including what you have done in this past year, what you have said, what you've believed, how you've shifted your beliefs. What about your friendships? Where are they at, right? This, again, isn't the time for sharpening blades. It's a time for taking in your reflection in a pool of water. I got a couple more details about this Mercury retrograde that I think are important. The first one is that Venus and Jupiter are opposite to each other in this chart. That means actually lovely things. It means that there's kind of a greater potential for having lots of social contact and lots of really lovely connections with others. Jupiter opposite Venus is great for that. So there is an inherently social nature to this Mercury retrograde, which I take to mean we are being invited to do a lot of our rule of reason, our reflection on our relationships, on how we love, like how we show up and care for others, how, again, we listen to them, how we communicate with them, and also how we receive love, how we receive care and attention from others. So this feels really like an important detail of this Mercury retrograde. And, you know, it also just makes sense that it's overlapping with holiday season and New Year's. And, you know, it's all very social times for a lot of people around the world. Now, related to that Jupiter-Venus opposition, Mercury is trine to Jupiter and it's sextile to Venus. And this furthers our potential for really being able to make use of this retrograde in our personal lives and do some very valuable and effective reflection on our relationships that may lead to deep and meaningful conversations that aren't especially, you know, hard. Because Mercury trine Jupiter and sextile Venus, there's a flow and an ease where everyone remembers that they're on the same team. So that's great. Now, it doesn't mean that the Neptune square to the Sun and Moon is magically gone, right? So it doesn't mean that Mercury isn't retrograde and that there's not a predisposition towards misunderstandings. But it certainly smooths out some wrinkles that are likely to happen in a typical Mercury retrograde. The other thing is that Mars is conjunct the Sun in this chart. This increases our likelihood of jumping to conclusions, being irritated and egotistical. To this, I simply want to say, bring your awareness to it. Find healthy outlets for your agitation, should you experience it, for your competitiveness or your pettiness or whatever may come up. And don't forget to be curious. When you feel aggression, irritation, competitiveness, you know, all these classic Mars feelings, when you feel them, if you can apply the rule of reason to them, reflect, reassess, be open to where you're responsible and what may need revolution or reinvestigation in your life. These retrogrades occur for a reason, and that reason is truly a gift. It's a fucking annoying gift, but it is a gift because we can't bring repair to something that we're not aware of. It is not a sign of failure to need to repair something. I don't want to brag, but I drive cars from the 80s. I like an old lady car. And the truth is, they are fantastic, but they need, you know, pretty consistent repair. I don't see the need for maintenance and repair as a sign of something being wrong with the car. I see the maintenance and repair as a sign of my investment in having these cars and keeping them running well. And it's not a bad way of holding the whole messiness of a retrograde. Okay, so that's Mercury retrograde, and we will come to it more and again throughout this retrograde cycle. But let's go to the other major astrological event happening on this day, on the 12th of December. We have a new moon in Sagittarius. It is happening at 20 degrees and 40 minutes of Sagittarius. And of course, new moons are when the sun and moon sit at the exact same degree of the same zodiac sign together. So they're both at the same degree and sign. And this is exact, as I said, at 3:32 p.m. Pacific time. Now, because these two events are happening within a few hours of each other, the charts are really fucking similar. The only thing that's moved in an appreciative way is the moon. So a lot of what I'm going to say here is, you know, it's a little repetitive, but it's in a totally different context. When we are interpreting astrology, it's really important to keep at the center of our thinking context, right? Because looking at a new moon versus something like a Mercury retrograde. So the chart of the Mercury retrograde gives us a sense of what to expect from the whole of the Mercury retrograde, right? But Mercury is a planet that governs our mind. That is really different than a new moon chart, which tells us the life of a lunar event, right? This new moon is a new lunar cycle. And so the moon is related to the heart. And the heart and the mind are not the same thing. They get kind of conflated, I think, in, you know, we talk about like mental and emotional health. They are connected, but they're not the same. And so this is a really interesting moment from, you know, like a self-care healing perspective to see that our lessons with the moon and our lessons with Mercury, our lessons with the heart and the lessons with the mind are really just like in alignment with each other. They're on the same line of the same page. For some people, it's going to be a real pain in the ass. For others, it's going to be a real boon. But the kind of like important, you know, upshot here is that we have the opportunity for the next few weeks to really learn something. And a huge part of what this something is how to tolerate uncertainty and ambiguity. It's how to stay open and empathetic, but to have healthy boundaries. And when I'm talking about boundaries right now, I'm talking about emotional boundaries, which is really closely connected to spiritual boundaries. So we've got this moon and sun sitting right on top of each other at 20 degrees and 40 minutes of Sag. We've got Mars at 13 degrees and 20 minutes of Sag. So Mars is sitting right on top of the moon and sun. And the moon and sun are both square to Neptune. So all this Sagittarius energy has us restless. We are restless. We are passionate. We are engaged. This can show up depending on your nature and your situation and how this hits your chart. This can show up as defensiveness and anger. This can show up as passion and the ability and drive to cultivate a vision for something better. And you know, in the context of everything that is happening in the world, it is so easy to become hopeless. Oh my God. It is so easy to be hopeless. But in order to create a just and fair world, in order to be engaged in any effort towards freedom and peace, we need to be able to envision it. Now, Sagittarius is a very humanitarian zodiac sign, and the expansiveness of this mutable fire sign helps us to envision what's possible, to weave stories or learn from stories of other peoples who've walked other paths and to inspire us to imagine what can be. This new moon in Sagittarius is a fantastic time for exploring what can be. Whether you apply this to social and political issues, your own personal life, your ability to talk to yourself in more, kind and patient ways, whatever it is, whether it's really small or really large, this new moon is a powerful time for exploring your imagination and exploring your spirit to visualize best possible outcomes, how things can grow, the direction they can grow, and the ways in which they can grow. This is not about planning. Sagittarius is not per se a planner. And on top of that, because Neptune is squared to the sun and moon. This is really not a pragmatic new moon. That's not what this is about, but it is deeply spiritual. And in this time where there is so much oppressive, heavy, sad, depressing news out there, where so many of us feel so overwhelmed and burdened, this new moon comes in and invites us to visualize something better. You know, the zodiac sign Aquarius is associated with the future, right? So like futurism in general is associated with Aquarius. But Sagittarius is similar. It's not the same, but it's similar because Sagittarius, that archer's bow, is all about being able to put your heart and mind into what could be. And I think that's fucking beautiful. And really intensely needed, like super intensely needed. Now, because of Neptune's influence on this new moon chart, this is a bad time for consciousness-raising drugs. Neptune can really fuck with our energy boundaries. This is a time to fortify the body, to fortify the spirit. And from that kind of embodied place, then you do your voyaging, right? So don't take yourself out of the body to do the voyage. Get in your body and then do your voyaging. And, you know, this is Mars. Mars is the body and it's conjunct the sun and moon. So we want to stay in the body as we explore what's possible. As I said, when I was looking at the Mercury retrograde chart, we do have this Venus-Jupiter opposition. And Venus is sextile to Mercury and Jupiter is trine to Mercury. And I should say, Mercury is not retrograde during the new moon. So the new moon chart is cast for a moment before Mercury goes retrograde. Okay, so she's shady, but she's not retrograde-y. This nice little sextile opposition trine situation, it indicates in this chart the same thing it did in the Mercury retrograde chart. It's great for connecting with other people, for having conversations, for building community, for exploring your ideas, your connection to art. And Jupiter, being the ruling planet to Sagittarius, is just in a really great position in this chart. So it strengthens the Sagittarian vibe here. Because this new moon is being squared by Neptune in a mutable sign, there's a value in me just touching in on the energetics of mutable energy. Mutable energy helps us to move through things because it is adaptable, it is flexible. When we're dealing with the mutable signs, which are Sagittarius and Gemini, Virgo and Pisces, we're dealing with the communicators of the zodiac. And, you know, depending on the zodiac sign, it's communication in different contexts. Our ability to tap into these diplomatic and empathetic energies is worth noting because I don't know about you, but I need to tap into these energies. I think we as a collective need to tap into these energies. Now, one more thing I'm going to say about this new moon in Sagittarius. Because Neptune stimulates anxiety, you may be feeling anxious. And again, I would encourage you to fortify your system in whatever way you can. So that means, you know, strengthening your system by putting yourself in nurturing and supportive dynamics. And when you can't, trying to hold your thoughts and feelings in as nurturing and empathetic ways that you're capable of. But also, other people are going to be feeling anxious. And so sometimes when people are feeling anxious, they're rude and cold. Sometimes they're needy and clingy. Sometimes they get inappropriate and awkward, right? We're all messy humans trying our best. I mean, some people would argue that not everyone's trying their best, but I actually think everyone is trying their best, you know, and some people's best is not great. That's all, you know, or sometimes our best is pretty checked out. But all to say, people are going to be acting weird. And because we're all feeling this anxiety-invoking energy, it would be easy to take it personally when somebody you're engaging with is acting weird. Even if it is about you, it's not completely about you because we're all just kind of off kilter. And things are going to be moving very fast this new moon. This new moon is definitely going to spark something. And within that, we can expect that some people's anxiety response is going to kind of get spiked. And that's just, you know, we want to be, to the best of our ability, patient and empathetic with ourselves and others around that. Another thing kind of in relationship to more of the social stuff is that Sagittarius governs journalism. It governs news. In this world we are living in, news is like a whole other thing. How many of us get our news from social media? And so I imagine that there will be important breaking stories. I mean, there is every day these days, but certainly this new moon. And because of Neptune's square, it is likely that there will be major propaganda. And it's so hard to know. It's so hard to know who to trust. When we are dealing with fascistic leaders, they'll tell us that the truth does not exist. And enough confusing, misleading propaganda will only verify that there is no reliable truth. And when enough people believe that nothing is true and nothing can be trusted, chaos ensues. This can take us down some very morally dark paths. This new moon in Sagittarius, it is important to empathetically keep in mind that many people who have radically different worldviews than you have those different worldviews because they are exposed to different media, different propaganda, different news. And why this is so important is because we need to be listening to each other, understanding where the other is coming from, sharing where we're coming from, but really listening to where other people are coming from. And the problem with the energetics of Sagittarius is Sagittarius loves to speak the truth, but not listen to other people's truths. It is really important if we are going to move the needle in society, if we're going to move the needle in our individual lives, that we have an exchange of energy, an exchange of understanding, and we don't just step up on a soapbox and tell people what to think and tell people what's right and what's wrong. If we don't also listen, why should they? Why would they listen to us, right? So we are in this very complex time, this new moon, around exploring what's true and our own anxiety response to what we don't know and what we do know. And this is where it brings me back to boundaries. On a social level, I think it's important to have a really strong media literacy and being conscientious about where you get your news and how reliable that source is, making sure you have a diversity of sources that you're getting your news from. On a personal level, it's really important that you explore the truth, broaden your understanding, and reconnect with optimism, with faith. Not out of, again, a thoughts and prayers-y vibe, but because it's hard to build a future that you don't believe in. It's hard to improve things if you just can't picture them getting better. So that's a lot. It's a lot. There's a lot going on this new moon. It is absolutely worth our care and attention, though. That brings us to the 15th of December. On the 15th of December, we have an exact trine between Mars and Chiron. This is happening with Mars at 15 degrees and 31 minutes of Sagittarius, and Chiron at 15 degrees and 31 minutes of Aries. This is exact at 2:55 p.m. Pacific time. Now, this transit is really wonderful and, again, really well-timed. And this is because it will help us to stay embodied, to stay present in our bodies and with our sharper, more reactive impulses, even when things are hard. And whenever we're dealing with Chiron, it's our core wounding, right? It's like our wounding around being here in a way. Like being here in this life, and in particular with Chiron and Aries, being in this body. And so this Mars trine to Chiron empowers us to show up and to stay present, even when we would otherwise get, defensive or shut down or whatever. This transit, more than anything, makes us feel emboldened, more brave, and more willing and able to tolerate the things that are hard for us. Right? And I will say now and again a million times, what is hard for you is not what's wrong with you. What is hard for you is simply what's hard for you. And it's so important that we develop the muscle of resiliency so that when we really are struggling, we don't go straight to self-condemnation or belittling ourselves. Right? And the same goes for others. When you see other people struggling in your personal life, in the world, if your first impulse is to condemn them, right, then you're probably doing the same shit to yourself. Having the capacity to acknowledge your pain, to allow your pain to show up and be present, and to not label it as wrong, but instead to be present with it and find ways of engaging with it that are helpful, that are healing, that are empathetic, that are kind. That right there is worth its weight in gold. And that brings us to the 16th of December. This is the last exact transit of the week. And this one is a little bit of a doozy, I'm not going to lie. On the 16th, the sun in Sagittarius forms an exact square to Neptune in Pisces. So this is happening at 24 degrees and 55 minutes. And this transit is exact at 7:43 p.m. Pacific time. Now, I've been talking about this transit this whole time, right? Because the Sun-Neptune square has been activated through the Mercury retrograde and the new moon charts. But let's talk more specifically about this particular transit. The sun in astrology is your identity. It is your will. It is your vitality. And Neptune is like a fucking sieve, you know, like a strainer. It is the most antithetical planet to vitality in the zodiac. And so when we are going through a sun square to Neptune transit, what we experience is exhaustion, anxiety, a lack of motivation, a lack of engagement. It can make us feel like we really just don't have the willingness to deal with shit. And again, this can lead to anxiety. Oftentimes during this transit, we encounter something that's demoralizing, something that it feels like it happens to us because Neptune is like victimization and martyrdom. So it can feel like something's happening at us or to us. And it can lead to like, woe is me or why this only happened to me kind of feelings. And the truth is, I don't know, maybe your life is worse than everybody else's. But I am of the mind that when we compare ourselves to others, whether it's our suffering or our joy, we have lost the thread of embodiment. It doesn't matter how other people are or aren't doing, at least not in this context. What matters is how we are or are not in alignment with what is authentic with ourselves, what is true to our values, true to our spirit, to our soul. How can you show up for others? How can you sustain your efforts when you have abandoned the soul? It gets really hard. It gets really draining. Sun square to Neptune can activate burnout. If your system has been like on the verge, you may feel really fucking burnt out this week as this transit has been active. And how do you deal with burnout? I'm going to give you a hot tip. It's not by pushing yourself harder. It's by, you know, many things, but in part, taking a step back, taking a break, fortifying yourself. It is a really valuable thing whenever the sun forms a square to Neptune to pay attention to whether or not you have been fortifying yourself on a soul level, whether or not you have been tending to the needs of your psychological and physical body, right? Again, people get really exhausted and demoralized under this transit, not because, you know, Neptune just magically does that to you, but because you were already feeling that way and then Neptune comes along and you can't deny it anymore. You can't power through it anymore. So whatever it is that comes up for you this week in general, and certainly specifically on this date, is really important information about where you're at and how sustainable it is for you to continue in the way that you have been going. Neptune is related to kind of like hard to diagnose things. It's related to ways in the body that you feel dysregulated or that you are dysregulated. It's related to your immune system and lots of functions of the body. So one of the things we do not want to do when the sun is square to Neptune, and in general, when we're dealing with challenging transits to or from Neptune, is to stress your immune system. If you're feeling low health-wise, mentally, physically, whatever, do what you can do to protect yourself, which is not a fear-based action. It's an investment in your wellness. The other thing that is really important to name about a sun square to Neptune is that it can be a transit where you get super idealistic spiritually. And this can lead to, you know, being deceived. It can lead to being enticed to regard things in too simplistic of terms, not enough nuance, to give away your power to someone. In other words, to get involved in cults. This is a time when we do need really strong spiritual boundaries, strong psychological boundaries. And Neptune is going to show us where we need those things, because that's going to be the place where we feel vulnerable or anxious. Related to that, you know, we tend to be a little gullible during Neptune stuff. So that may mean that you believe something just because you saw somebody post about it. It might be that you believe something that someone says to you without doing any kind of investigation into it, including looking inside of yourself, but not limited to looking inside of yourself. Also, you know, if we're talking about data, the data is verifiable, generally speaking. Also, you may be the one who's saying something that's not true, and you may be doing it on purpose. You may be doing it by accident. This transit tends to be accompanied by some level of deception, being the victim of it or the perpetrator of it. And the fact that Mercury is retrograde while we're going through a sun square to Neptune, it doesn't make that better. So this is not a reason to, you know, run for the hills or get scared. It's just a reason to be like, okay, I am going to do my own level best to communicate effectively and with integrity. Right. And if I feel really like anxious or floopy or all over the place or whatever the hell it is, I don't have to say shit. Sometimes it's best to allow ourselves to stay in a state of reflection than to speak on a thing. And sometimes it's best to use your full chest and say what needs to be said. You get to make that assessment for yourself based on hopefully an accurate sense of self and meaningful self-reflection, self-awareness. This week is going to be challenging in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of energy to support us as well, but it's challenging. All you can do is choose to be intentional, empathetic, and true in how you engage with your own inner talk, your own relationship to yourself, as well as how you relate to the people in your personal life. And then more broadly in your larger community, as well as in the world. I know it's cheesy, but the world needs love. And love is a force. Love is powerful. Love is creative and generative. It takes strength to stay in the energetics of love. But the world needs love. You need love. And if you're not getting it from around you, that sucks. But you can generate it for yourself and for others, for the world at large. And that is so much of what the astrology of this time calls for. So I invite you to sit on it, think about it, explore it, follow the rule of reason about it, and see what feels right to you. This, you know, sun square to Neptune, this Mercury retrograde, this Sagittarius new moon is inviting us to explore. That can be hard, but it is really worthwhile. I'm going to run through the transits one more time for you. But if you want to track the transits with me, you can subscribe to the very same tool that I use. It's my pro tool for astrologers, Astrology for Days, over at astrologyfordays.com. It tracks the transits and has a note-taking tool so that you can track your own predictions if you're an astrologer or an advanced astrology student, or the predictions of astrologers like myself. So you can use this as a self-guided tool for learning astrology and how it actually practically works in the world and in your life. Again, that's over at astrologyfordays.com. Okay, on December 11th, we have an exact sextile between Mercury and Venus. That's exact at 11:17 a.m. On the 12th of December, we have a new moon in Sagittarius that is exact at 3:32 p.m. and Mercury goes retrograde in Capricorn at 11:09 p.m. On the 15th of December, Mars forms an exact trine to Chiron. And on the 16th, the Sun forms an exact square to Neptune. That's exact at 7:43 p.m. And that, my friends, is your horoscope. If you get value from this podcast, you would absolutely love the content I drop on Patreon. We are exploring lots of stuff right now around ambiguity and alignment, grief, and all manner of woo, from the tarot to astrology to animal communication. So you can join me over there at patreon.com/JessicaLignato. And if Patreon's not your thing, please hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and I hope you'll tune in to the midweek episode where I give an in-depth reading to a listener who's written in through the contact form on my website. All right, my loves, take really good care of yourself and others, and I'll talk to you in a couple of days. Bye-bye.
Every year they say the end is near.